This morning, I want to talk to you about the bond of biblical unity. The bond of biblical unity. Say it with me. The bond of biblical unity. And I've shared this subject in the past. Some of the things that I say today, you may have heard in the past. Some of it will be brand new. But we always have new people coming in, and we need to keep everything updated. And so we're going to talk about that. The primary key to any successful marriage, how many knows, is unity. The primary key to any successful business is unity. How about any church? The key to any successful ministry a church has to be unity. And so we're going to talk this morning about biblical unity and what it means. And I'm going to start off by saying I've never seen a day in time. This is kind of a negative start, but we'll turn it around here in just a minute. I've never seen a time in history when there is so much division and strife and discord amongst Christians. I'm not talking about this church, okay? I'm talking about those other churches in the area. But isn't it sad that every time you turn on your television and you're hearing somebody degrade and tear down Christianity or tear down division, or they bring division in the body of Christ? And do you know you don't have to believe like everybody else to have unity? You don't have to agree with everybody in the sense of doctrine and theology to not have unity. You don't have to not have an opinion just because you're trying to keep unity. Everybody has an opinion, right? Everybody has an opinion, and you have a right to your opinion. But listen, there's still such a thing as biblical unity in spite of our diverseness or our diversity. Amen. And there's such a epidemic, actually I would call it a pandemic of strife and fighting in the churches, and people quitting churches because there's strife and division and discord. Nobody wants to go to a church where there's not unity. If there's fighting and arguing and judgment and pointing of the finger, nobody wants to go to that kind of a church. Can I hear a good amen? We hear about church splits. We hear about people fussing and dividing from one another. There's strife and jealousy and bad-mouthing one another. And what amazes me is how somebody can come to a church Pastor, this is the greatest church in the world. We love this church. We love the worship. We love the children's ministry and the youth ministry. And we love the preaching. It's just such a good atmosphere. And then 3 years later, they go down the road somewhere and start their own church. Isn't that funny how people can from one minute be all lovey-dovey and then the next minute they're wanting to divide and separate themselves? Well, that just happens to be the world we live in, and that happens all the time. And I've got a couple things here. I wrote these things down, and I want to share these with you. Estimates indicate that between 4,000 and 8,000 churches close every year in the United States. This is an up-to-date fact. And I know there's a big gap from 4,000 to 8,000, but 4,000 is way too many churches closing across the United States. This is based on data from the Protestant Denominations and Religious Research. That equates to approximately 75 to 150 churches closing every week. Somewhere, this has got to stop. And the projections from 2025 for this year, the projections last year for this year, indicates that there's a sharper increase with possibly up to 15,000 closures this year due to, listen, declining attendance and financial pressures and division in the church. How about this? Pastors leaving the ministry. Approximately 1,500 pastors leave the ministry every month in the United States, which translates into about 18,000 a year. Somebody say, wow. That high attrition rate can be attributed to burnout and contention within their churches. How about church disputes? Now listen. How many of us knows that church members have been known to fight over the silliest things? Come on. There's been church fights over the silliest, craziest things from a serious doctrinal issue to something that's just downright absolutely ridiculous. At a church board meeting, there was a wealthy board member or a wealthy member that offered to donate a beautiful crystal chandelier for the sanctuary. And one deacon stood up and he said, "I'm against it for three reasons. Number one, we don't have anybody here that knows how to play it. Number two, nobody here knows how to spell it. And number three, what this church really needs is more light." Some people can fight over anything, can't they? Do you know there's been worship wars, people fighting over worship, styles of music, you know, whether we have the big pipe organ or do we have the little red organ or do we have the keyboard or why do we have to have drums in the church? You know, there's people fighting over, you know, the volume's too high, the volume's too low. I can't hear my favorite singer on the stage to that guitar is so loud I can't hear any, you know, and people are just fighting worship wars. We sang too many fast songs and not enough slow songs, and our praise and worship so long we don't have time for preaching, and people get into some of the craziest things. Do we stand or do we sit? Do we lift our hands or do we not lift our hands? It's just so many things. How about building decor? Have you ever heard churches fight over building decor? Well, I don't like the carpet. I don't like the color of the carpet they chose. We could have done better than that. I don't like the lighting in the church. I don't like the chairs. I don't like the deck. Why did they? Somebody told me just a couple days ago, "I don't like the color of our church. I don't like that gray. It's so blah." They said, "I liked it better when it was yellow." Yeah, I know she can't please everybody, but that's all right. That's all right. You know what? We'll probably paint it gray anyway. Oh, by the way, we are shopping for new carpet for the auditorium right now. We're trying to get the best prices. We're not looking for the cheapest carpet, but we're looking for prices. This has been down for 30 years. It's time for a replacement up here. Now, this looks like 70s, don't it? 1970s, and we're shopping around for carpeting. I'm just letting you know ahead of time, because it's going to cost a little over $20,000, and we're going to need some help. So anyway, get ready. We'll talk about that later, okay? But when we start to pick out the color of the carpet, there's going to be different opinions, and that's all right. It's okay, but we're not going to fight over it. We don't fight over the color of the tablecloths, huh? Okay. All right. Which ministry gets the biggest priority? There needs to be more budget for the youth activities. Who really gets a key to the supply closet? I'm telling you, people argue over the funniest, craziest stuff. Amen? It's crazy. Amen. And I'll tell you in just a minute about husbands and wives, how they fight over a lot of stuff. But before we do that, let's go to Matthew 12:22. We're going to read through verse 28. You guys got your Bibles? Got your devices? I know you got your phones. We're looking at Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 through 28. When you found it, say amen. I am reading from the NIV this morning, New International Version. "Then they brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him, so that he could both talk and see. All the people were astonished and said, 'Come, this could be the son of David.' But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, 'It's only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons.'" How disrespectful. "Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, 'Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined.'" Say that with me. "Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. And every city or household that is divided against itself will not stand. And if Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by the devil or Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out? So then they will be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Notice they were accusing Jesus of casting out demons by the devil. How can this stand? How can it stand? There's no unity. There's division there. And Jesus comes back and he says, every kingdom, even the kingdom of God, if it's divided against itself, every church, every ministry, every business, every marriage that's divided against itself will not stand. What will it do? It'll fall. I'm talking about the importance of unity, not just in the church, but in the home and in your family. And cities can be divided through division. Yeah. Your home can be divided through division. And Satan's number one priority is to separate us, to divide us from God and from one another. Well, I love God, Pastor. Loving God is easy. It's loving that person next to you that's not so easy. How many of loving people is not as easy as loving God? Of course you love God. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. Jesus loves you, and it's easy to love Jesus. But how many knows that person sitting next to you or on the back row or front row, it's not so easy to love them sometimes. And I don't believe yet that the church has recognized the power of being in one accord. And may I say once again, as I have said every year for the last several years, this church has absolutely zero tolerance for strife and bickering and fighting. We will nip it in the bud at the risk of somebody getting upset and quitting the church. We will not put up with strife. We're not going to argue over minor things. That you know, why do we argue over things that won't make any difference 5 years from now? Come on, some of you looking at me kind of funny this morning. Why do we fight over something that's going to have no effect on us in 5 or 10 years from now? Do you know that in 10 years it doesn't matter what color carpet we choose? I tell you what, anything can be better than this, right? I told you a while ago, it's amazing what churches fight over. Can I tell you something? It's kind of funny what husbands and wives fight over. No, it's not funny. Let me rephrase that. It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous what husbands and wives fight over. Now, I'm not saying you have a disagreement. If you're telling me between a husband and wife you never had a disagreement, I want to lay hands on you and cast out the lying devil. Because I promise you, yeah, I mean, I know you guys look at Darlene and I and think we've got it all together, but I'll tell you something. You just hang around us for about 30 minutes and you'll find out we don't always agree. You're looking at me so pious. Come on, get that religious face. We all have disagreements. Now, we don't have knockdown dragouts, but there's times she's told me to go to the room and shut the door. Couples often end up having the silliest fights about the silliest tiny everyday things that don't really matter. Okay, here's some of them I listed. Why are we going to fight over who left the cap off the toothpaste? Why are we going to fight on which way the toilet paper unrolls from the spool? My wife has her way of doing it. And sometimes, Mark, just for meanness, I'll switch it around to where it comes from the top instead of the bottom. Now, hold on, Dwayne. I know how you are because you do the same thing up in the upstairs toilet. And you know, my wife no longer says, Daryl, why'd you turn that paper around? And she just quietly turns it around and pretends I never did anything. I'm looking for a little bit of excitement here, and she's just going to turn it. And she does the same thing upstairs. Dwayne turns it around upstairs, and she just puts it back the other way. How come we fight over the silliest things, don't we? Amen? Why are you throwing your clothes on the floor right next to the dirty clothes hamper? Max, are you in here? Max, I heard something about you this last week, that the dirty clothes hamper is right here, and you throw your clothes right here. Oh, it actually touches the hamper. That's right. It actually touches the hamper. How about this one? You didn't put the toilet seat down. Come on, Ray. Come on, Ray. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You didn't put the toilet seat down. How about the... Why does this thing keep going off on me? How many's got a wife that's always freezing and you're always melting, or vice versa, and you fight over the temperature? If you ever buy one of these thermostats like we have at home where you just go to your phone and you change it, we have phone wars at our house. We have thermostat wars. I think she is sound asleep, so I'll reach over and get my phone real quietly, and I'll turn it. She likes it on 66 at night. Well, that's a little cool for old Daryl. So, you know, so I'll turn it up to about 69, and it won't be 15 minutes. She'll get up, and I'll see the light on her phone come on, and you know what she's doing? She's turning it back down again. Thermostat wars. How about leaving lights on in the empty room? Why did you leave that light on? Don't you know that's costing us money? Shut the door. Were you raised? How many's heard that one before? Here's one that causes some discord. Where do you want to go for dinner? Come on, guys, shake your head yes, because you know how the women are, right? Where do you want to go for dinner? I don't care, wherever you want to go. All right, let's go to Colton's. No, I don't like Colton's. I want to go somewhere else. Am I telling the truth? Come on, church, help me out. Don't act like you're not listening to me. Some of you men got your head down like I dare not smile. She'll give me the elbow. How about, what would you like? Would you like to go to Steak and Shake? No, that's too greasy. Let's go to Farmington Diner. We fight over, not really fight, but we get in these disagreements, and if we don't correct those things, it was a little spark can start a big forest fire. Am I right? Come on. Well, if you can't make up your mind, then we just won't eat. Yeah. Who ate the last cookie? Max. Who said not me? Who ate that last pizza? That wasn't for you, Papa. Who took the last Dr. Pepper out of the refrigerator? Oh, I'm glad I got these kids down here helping me today. Where's the remote? Who misplaced the remote? I can never find the remote. What'd you do with the remote? Do you notice it's never the other person? It's always, what did you do with the remote? How about this one? You're flipping through channels, and somebody says, why can't you just stop on something? Why don't you watch something? Don't they know that we're watching when we're flipping? Come on, church. We're watching while we flip. We don't have to settle down for an hour. We can just watch everything. Little things that cause little bickerings, like watch the curb. You're going to run over the curb. That's my favorite phrase when Darlene drives. Darlene, you're going to mess up those wheels. We're going to have to get those wheels fixed again. You just ran over the curb. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. I saw you. I felt it. Okay, honey. I'd rather have peace than be right. How many knows what I'm talking about? We just find the silliest things. We could learn to just... How many of us, we can just learn to roll with the punches? Amen. I want to give you, real quickly this morning, I want to give you three promises. three promises that are associated with dwelling in unity. Three promises for dwelling in unity, whether it's in your home, in your church, on your in your business, on the job. How many knows it takes a lot of crucifying of the flesh to stay in one accord? Come on, you can at least shake your head. If you can't say amen, you can at least shake your head. It takes a lot of crucifying the flesh to stay in one accord. Amen. It takes a lot of crucifying the flesh to say, honey, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Because people don't want to admit I was wrong. It takes a lot of crucifying of the flesh to say, you know what? You had a better idea than I did. Have you ever met anybody that thought it wasn't a good idea unless it was their idea? Come on now. So if we can understand these three promises, and if we're willing to pay the price to walk in unity, we'll find out that there's some great blessings that's associated with walking in unity. John chapter 17, verses 17 through 22. Got your devices, boys? John 17, verse 22. John 17, 17 through 22. Jesus is praying, and he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Your word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for those also which will believe on me. In other words, I'm not just praying for these disciples, but I'm praying for all those in the centuries or the years to come, that when they believe because of the word of the apostles, when they believe, and I'm praying for them also, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. We all know that there's two separate, you know, there's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? But listen, there is so much unity between the three of them. That's why Jesus says that we'll be one. We're one in unity. And I have to say, thank God, Solid Rock, we are at a high level of unity in this church. Thank you, Jesus, that there's no strife. Now, how many knows Satan comes immediately to steal the word? But we're not going to let him. Just because he comes doesn't mean he has to steal the word, right? That the world may believe. Now notice, that the world may believe. Underline that or highlight it in your device. That thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou give to me, I have given them, that they may be one. In other words, be one in unity. Jesus prayed that we would be united just like Jesus and the Father. Now, it's very obvious that the worldwide church is not one. Listen, do you know, listen to this. According to the World Christian Encyclopedia, there are over, get this, 45,000 different Christian denominations. I could not believe that when I read that. 45,000. In the world, 45,000, 1,200 of them exist in the United States alone. Denominations. And that's not counting the non-denominational churches. So, I believe it's God's will that we be united just like Jesus prayed, or otherwise he prayed against God's will. It's God's will that we be united as one, okay? And I'll get to some things here in just a moment. Bear with me just a little while. Verse 23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and has loved them as you have loved me. May our unity in this church be as one, so that the world will know that Christ is dwelling in us all together as one. And the promise number one here, you want to write this down or take a picture of it. Promise number one is the promise of evangelism. The promise of evangelism. The greatest tool that the church has for reaching the lost is loving one another and dwelling in unity. Thank you for that one that's right and one amen. We know it's true, don't we? That's the greatest tool of evangelism that we have, is living together in unity and seeing, you know, the greatest testimony. You know, one of the greatest testimonies we have is dwelling together in harmony and unity and working together, walking together. How about apologizing to each other? How quick are we to apologize? How about forgiving one another? Burying the hatchet. There's just something that happens when somebody walks into it. I was telling Gary this morning, there's something happens when somebody walks into a church and they can actually feel the love of God. They can feel the harmony. They can feel the unity. You can't feel that everywhere you go. And I don't want us to get on a high horse or say we're the only ones like that. But I want to tell you something. When people walk into this church, I've had so many tell me, Boomer, that I just felt the love of God. The minute I walked down those steps, I felt the love and the invitation of the people in this church. Amen. People will come to where they like what they feel. Amen. I believe evangelism will break out when the church gets in unity. And people coming in seeing that we really do love one another. I don't care if you have a lot of hair, a man bun. Correct, take your hat off. No hair. Okay, here's a no hair. And back, it doesn't matter. I'm joining the no hair crowd too. I feel sorry for anybody that when I sit on the front row and you're sitting behind me, I feel so sorry for you having to look at that bald head. But we're headed that way. And Dwayne, don't you look at me so funny, because you are too. But when unity and love, forgiveness and friendliness breaks out in a church, people don't want to stay away from that. They want to be a part of a family that's loving one another. One of the promises of unity is the promise of evangelism. People will be drawn. You know, one of the problems with churches today is people look at the church and say, well, they're no different than the workplace. They act just like the people in the workplace. They act just like people in the corporate world. They're no different, you know. I see no difference in them. They're fussing and fighting and jealousy and politicking and power moves. Come on. I don't want that at Solid Rock. I want to see us. So you might disagree with me, but we can still walk together and love each other. Amen. I know probably nobody in here agrees with me on everything, and that's okay. I can live with that. But we just don't cause fights and argue and fight over it, right? I don't agree with a lot of things you do. Ha ha. So there, I said it. I don't agree with everything everybody does, but that's okay. We can still worship together, love one another, forgive one another, and walk together. Amen. When people find a church that really loves God and really loves one another, a church that forgives one another, where there's no strife and division, people will be drawn to that church. You know why? Because the human being, the human spirit, craves acceptance. We crave unity. Amen? I'm telling you what, unity is not going to be found on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. with everybody up there singing Kumbaya. That's not where it's going to be found. It's going to be found in the churches where people are coming together and loving one another. I'm talking about the blood-bought church of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? You know, we may not all agree when Jesus is coming back, and that's okay. I you know, you can believe what you want to believe. I'll believe what I want to believe, and the thing is, if the Bible says something in black and white, I don't have a right to believe what I want to believe. I have to believe what the Bible says. Listen to me. Where the Bible is black and white, we better live by that. Where there's gray areas, that's okay. We can have our little disagreements in the gray areas. And people are still fighting over the return of Jesus, the rapture of the church. There's people here in this church that don't agree with me, in the pre-trib rapture. And that's all right. We're still family. There's people that believe in the mid-trib rapture. And that's all right. You believe that. And then there's those that don't believe the rapture until we're in the middle of the tribulation. That's all right. what we can agree on this, he is coming back. He is returning. Amen. Because the people that prove mid-trib have Bible to believe what they believe in mid-trib. Those that believe in pre-trib have Bible to believe in what they believe. Those that believe in the rapture after the tribulation or during the tribulation, they have Bible to believe what they believe. It's just a matter of interpretation. But the bottom line is, it don't matter. If you believe pre-trib and he comes, if you believe mid-trib and he comes pre-trib, just say hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, I made it. Right? There's no sense in fighting over it. Come on, I'm doing better preaching. Y'all shouting amen today. We need some joy. We need some joy in this church. Where's that joy? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know what's wrong with this thing, but it keeps going black. Yeah, we can just agree that it's coming back. Somebody says, well, I don't believe in healing. Well, that's okay. You can still come to church. You can come here. Hang out with us healed people, right? I understand not everybody's healed. That's okay. Not everybody's healed. But we can all come to church and worship God together. Amen. Amen. Satan knows the power of unity than most Christians do. Let's get to promise number two. Did I skip number two? Well, let's back up just a little bit. People can be divided over political persuasions. If you're an independent, if you're a Democrat, if you're a Republican, you know what? We don't need to put our walls up. You're my brother. You're my sister. Now, I won't go there. Some people are divided over theological differences. Can I tell you something? We ought to be able to agree and love and fellowship with the Baptist. Why do we have to put our walls up? You know, we say we're a non-denominational church, but we put up our little denominational walls. I may not agree with all their doctrine, but I'll tell you what, some of them's got their theology down better than most Pentecostals.
Come on, you just missed a good chance.
We can get along. Some of my best pastor friends are Baptist. Amen. Baptist is not your enemy. The church down or up the road's not your enemy.
That's right.
Amen. And I'm so glad, Angie, you came this morning, because I had this in my notes and I didn't know you was going to be here. She's a little Catholic girl. She was raised Catholic all of her life, still Catholic. And some of you were former Catholics, and Angie's still a Catholic. I see a lot of people that serve God, love God, go to church regularly, and are Catholic. They're born again. They're born again. Now listen, it's okay. The Catholics are not our enemies. In fact, we today are a member of the Catholic Church. Because the word Catholic means universal. And if you're not a part of the universal church, honey, you need to repent. You need to get your life. Come on now. There's only one church, and it's the universal church of Jesus Christ. Some of you are Church of Christ today, right? I think we all should be Church of Christ. What other church can we be? Is this okay, Gary? I didn't embarrass you, did I? Okay. We all belong to the church. Hey, listen, if you don't belong to the Church of Christ, you better get saved. Oh, guess what? We're also all Jehovah's Witnesses. Oh, boy, now it's getting quiet in here. Yeah, you could have went all day without saying that. What did I say we were? What? Jehovah. Yeah, who else witnesses are you? If you're not a Jehovah Witness, you need to get busy, honey, and start becoming a witness for God Almighty. Amen? And as Dwayne said, we're all Latter-day Saints. I didn't say Mormons. I said Latter-day Saints. Am I right? Okay, so promise number one is the promise of evangelism. Promise number two is found in Psalms 133, and let me give you the promise. It is the anointing flows and God commands the blessing. Where there is unity, the anointing flows and God commands the blessing. Okay, let's look at Psalms 133. How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in what? Say it out loud, church. Some of you, I know you can read. Say it out loud. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there, where is there? There is in that place of unity. The Lord has commanded the blessing, even life evermore. Amen. What a blessing. What an honor. To know that when we're walking in unity, God says there is a commanded blessing there, and the anointing is increased where people are walking in unity. Thank you for your thundering, silent amen. Thank God he's blessed us. You know what God's blessed? No man can curse. Huh? No man can curse it. Amen. No wonder the devil works overtime trying to divide us. What's wrong, honey? I'm so sorry. I'm going to just buy me another iPad. This thing just keeps going black, and I got 75% battery. So let me try holding it. Promise number three. Is this okay today? Am I boring anybody? I feel like I'm boring everybody today. Is this okay? Who said yes? Who said Silas? Silas is the only honest person in here today. Oh, you said yes too? Am I boring you too? Okay. Well, it'll be over in just a minute, son. The third promise of walking in unity. Did we write that down? Nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. The scripture is Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 1. Number 2 was the anointing will flow and God's commanded blessing will be on us. Promise number 1 is the greatest tool for unity, the greatest tool for evangelism is unity. Number 3 is the promise of nothing will be restrained from what they have imagined to do. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Verse number 6. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they began to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Nothing will be restrained. What he's saying here is because these evil people got in unity, do you know that unity will even work for evil people? You get a bunch of them together. How many knows they can, because of unity is powerful. Unity is powerful in the world. It's powerful in the church. Unity is powerful in the evil. That's why he said every kingdom divided against itself will not stand. Satan's kingdom is more unified than a lot of, you fill in the blank, okay? And so he said, nothing will be restrained from which they have imagined to do. That's an interesting word, imagined. It's Strong's number 2161 in the Hebrew. It's Z-A-W-M-A-M, Zaman. It means nothing will be restrained from those which they have plotted, purposed, or considered to do. Nothing can be. Do you know what? You get a church like this that's full of purpose, full of vision, full of determination, full of love and unity, we can do just whatever we set our hearts to do. Amen. Amen. All it takes is coming together. Amen. Okay, so I'll have the worship team come up here and I will begin to close. And the children's pastors won't be offended at me today because I let out early, because they're all down here. Now, if we could just get them to do that on Wednesday nights, right? No, you guys have a great time up there. Everybody remember the word synergy? Synergy? That's what happens when we come together in Bible unity. Do you know we become 10 times stronger when we are put together, when we're together, than we are when we're apart or divided? The Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000. Darlene and I are not twice as strong when we're together. We're 10 times stronger when we're together in unity and harmony. Somebody said one time, it's the banana that gets separated from the bunch that gets peeled. Do I need to say it again? It's the banana that is separated from the bunch that gets peeled or eaten. Simply meaning when you're out by yourself trying to do it without the unity and the harmony of everybody else, we're not going to make it very far. Amen? Can you imagine what would happen at Solid Rock Family Church when we get into this supernatural love of God, unity, seeing one another as valuable and precious? Can you imagine what would happen when we stop listening to gossip, when we stop participating in backbiting and slandering and discord? If one horse, you've heard this from me before, if one horse can pull 3,300 pounds, you would think that two horses together could pull 6,600 pounds. But it's proven fact that without training, two horses can pull 22,000 pounds together and up to 33,000 pounds together if they are trained. Same thing with geese. Geese fly in a V formation. They can go 70% further than they can flying by themselves. The one in the front creates the lift from the flapping of their wings that the others benefit from. If one goose can fly 60 miles a day, they can fly 105 miles together in the V formation. And with that, I would say some geese have more sense than some Christians. Here's another thing that Christians could learn. If one of the geese, or is it goose? Which is it? If one of the geese fall out of formation, do you know what? Two others will fall out of the formation and go back and rescue that one that's fallen and bring them back into the flight. They don't let them just fall up by themselves. And so today, I just want you to stand to your feet. I want the worship team to lead us in a song. And I want us to examine our hearts, examine our lives. I want us to think about this. What can God do when we are in unity? We are making, according to the Word of God, making every effort to keep the unity of the faith. How good and pleasant it is when we dwell together in unity. Amen? It's not just a verse on the wall or on your mirror. Something we should be practicing. Relationships so healed that the enemy has no foothold. I believe Solid Rock is going to stand in power. I believe we're going to stand in supernatural strength. We're going to see the commanded blessing not just poured upon this church, but upon our households. Because we as a family are endeavoring to keep the unity of our family, of our church, of our friendships and relationships. Did you know the Bible, the New Testament, really, really encourages us to be of one mind? One mind. That doesn't mean we all think the same way about everything. We'll never be there. Some of you like Fords more than you do Chevys. Some of you like Dodges more than you like Jeeps, you know. We're all going to have those type of differences. But I'm talking about keeping the unity of the faith. Of the faith. Father, thank you this morning for your word. Would you just pray this prayer silently to yourself? If there's anything in my life that has sown, if I've sown discord, if I've been unforgiving, if I've not endeavored to keep the unity of the faith, God, help me to let things go. It's not your will that we harbor such thoughts and feelings. As one of the young men said this morning, our mind is that part of our selves that our emotions and our will flows through. And God, we can renew our minds with your word, even the word that we've heard this morning, those three promises of walking in unity. Nothing will be restrained from a church that walks in unity. The anointing will be in a church where that anointing, where that unity is flowing. The commanded blessing will be upon the people in the church where unity is flowing. And the greatest tool for evangelism is to see a church loving one another in the midst of a divided world, a world that's confused, a world that doesn't operate in the love of God, a world that hates. Thank you, Father. Thank you for Solid Rock. Thank you for these wonderful church people, Lord, that just love you with all of their hearts. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us today. I want to ask everybody for just one moment, if you'll just bow your heads with me. Just respect this next 90 seconds, please, or this next 2 minutes. Would you just bow your heads with me? If there's anybody in this house today.